Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's message is entitled, Be Patient. And you guys have heard the term patience is a virtue. I want to talk a little bit about why it's a virtue, and then hopefully give us a bunch of word. I want to wash over us tonight with the word related to a Bible verse. If I can just give you kind of a little side lesson here. When you're talking about the word washing over you, a real practical way to do that is find all the Bible verses about a particular subject and read all of them over and over and over again. So washing yourself with the word is not reading a Bible verse one time or thinking about the Bible or even just reading the Bible in a general way, but aiming at a specific dirty spot. You know, like if you go to, you got around our house, it seems like there's always marker on somebody. And when there's marker on the arm, you spend a couple of minutes washing the arm to get the crud off that spot on the arm. Well, in a similar way with the reality of washing ourselves with the word, find a dirty spot, find a spot that you need some help with, and then read a bunch of Bible verses over and over and over and wash yourself repeatedly in that area. And I just think about the area of patience and how important it is for every single human being, especially for those who are in the household of faith, and especially maybe for moms. Just think about moms. And it applies to the rest of us, but my gosh, does it apply to the moms. So patience is a virtue. It's a sign of wisdom. Proverbs 19 and Proverbs 14 talk about the role of patience related to it being a sign of wisdom. If we've got those verses, Proverbs 19:11, and then Proverbs 14:29, excellent. A person's wisdom yields patience. Whoever is patient has great understanding. Talk about these two for a second. A product of wisdom. A yield. So you're talking about a crop or a field that you've planted crops in, and it yields X amount of, ears of corn or X amount of heads of wheat or X amount of whatever. It's what its yield is, what the fruit that it's producing. It says wisdom is a field, and the yield of wisdom's field, the fruit that comes up out of wisdom's field, is patience. So actually, we can gauge how wise or dumb we are by how patient or impatient we are. It's actually a way, and it's not an accusation against us. It's a way to actually gauge where we're at related to wisdom by how much patience comes out. And I find myself frequently failing in this area and proving to myself just how unwise I am, because it says a person's wisdom will yield them patience. It also says that whoever is patient has great understanding. A patient person is smart. It doesn't mean that they've got intellectual sense in the area of business. It says that they have the deepest measure of what matters regarding intellect. They have understanding. Understanding. Those with it will operate in patience. I just thinking about that as I was preparing for this message, the wisdom of patience, the proof of wisdom in our life, the proof of understanding of truth and of God and of ourselves and of the Lord. I mean, this almost sounds a little new age, but it's like, man, having true understanding is having that inner peace and a patience that flows out. Never thought about that before. I was looking at this from this angle specifically, the connection point between patience and wisdom. But you just think about how many verses talk about those that are hot-headed, those that are quick to temper, and how unwise they are, how foolish they are. It's like patience is the opposite. Patience is looking at the situation and with understanding, approaching it with an inner calm. And being patient and saying, this is going to be okay. I'm going to work through this. And I'm not going to explode at you. Patience. Patience can change a heart. A couple of verses in Proverbs as well. Proverbs 25:15 and Proverbs 15:18. If we can get those up there, yeah. In these verses, this is talking about patience as a slow warfare. Patience as a powerful weapon in your arsenal, but by very virtue of the nature that patience requires time, it's a slow war that you're going to win as opposed to an instant battle won in the moment. I just think about all of our lives and our relationships and the things that we're trying to tackle, the things that we're trying to win. Patience is a slow war. It's a slow warfare, a slow, slowly released toxic weapon that will win the war over time. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. The one who is patient calms a quarrel. You know, think about an instant argument, and you just, the way that you would shut that down, hopefully, is you just go in there and just bring the hammer down and shut it down. Quarrel, talking about a long-standing issue, strife of the longest sense, patience. Patience has power from the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome significant obstacles. Patience has power. It's a warfare. Patience is the antidote to pride. Pull up that verse in Ecclesiastes 7:8. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." I think these ideas are related, actually, because we always think about the end of something. You know, we're in this remodel project, and we're kind of all longing for the end of it. We're saying that the end of it is better than the beginning, but what typically happens when we get to the end of a matter, if we're not careful, pride can rise up within us. Because we got the thing. We finally got it. Now I'm awesome because I got the thing. I did the thing. I accomplished the thing. And it's like the proverb here out of Solomon's mouth. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. Same author. He says patience is better than pride. He says you were actually better off in the process, enduring patiently, if you were in fact enduring patiently, than you would be at the end to get it and wind up prideful. He said, the process, there's actually power in the process. Patience is better than pride. Proverbs 16:32, patience is just better. It's just better. It's better than whatever you could call the opposites of patience, whatever you could have as your other options instead of patience. Look at this, Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient person than a warrior. The person who writes this is the king of a nation who needs warriors. He said, I'd rather have a patient person than another person in my army. Like a really solid warrior, like another one of David's mighty men, a patient person is better. One with self-control is better than the one who can take a whole city. This is the wisest person writing these proverbs about the value of patience and self-control. And it takes self-control to be patient because no person is just naturally so patient that they never struggle with the issue of patience. So it requires self-control. Patience, calm myself, deep breaths. Yeah, patience, self-control says it's better than a warrior. It's better than one who can take a city. There's power in patience. You know, we so frequently think about our lives, I think about my life so often, in terms of strengths. If I just had this strength, I could get this done. If I just had this, I could take on that. We so often think about these things, and yet the scripture so exalts the character trait of patience, the fruit of the spirit of patience. It's a virtue. Man, if you've got these things, if you can operate in patience, you can be powerful. You can be the star of the show in so many ways, in the quiet ways behind the scenes where the Holy Spirit rests on you. You just think about the person who is kind of known for their impatience and the person that is known for their patience. Who sleeps better at night? Like, whose blood pressure is probably lower? You know, I mean, who is it that just kind of walks in joy a little bit more in life? It's powerful. Patience. It's a virtue. Well, I want to talk, kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about having patience with God. You know, I find patience with people is one category. But patience with God is really where I think it starts, honestly. I think if we're impatient with the Lord, there's no way we can be patient with human beings. And I think we could learn to be patient with people and still totally impatient with God. So I think it really actually starts in our relationship with the Lord in the area of patience. And I just want to kind of talk about this a little bit. I feel like half a life, and maybe it's more like 9/10 of life, is us learning to be patient with God, with his plan, with his purposes, with the way things are going. And we just got done talking about the value of patience. And a lot of us were probably thinking about our interactions with our friends, our neighbors, our small group, our parents, our spouses, whatever, our friends. But I want to carry over all those same ideas of the power of patience. Let's carry all that over in talking about having patience with God. Is it possible to turn this mic down? Is there anybody that might know how to do that? So what I'm going to go into here is having patience with God. Talk about what that looks like. What about having patience with God when nothing is happening? Much of our life, much of our experience is our life not going the direction that we want, nothing happening at the moment. There are really only a handful of moments in the course of a year or even in a 10-year period where there's really something happening. We can turn it down even a little bit more. There's only a few times in the course of a year, that's perfect, thank you. Only a few times in the course of a year where there's something big happening where we feel like something's happening, where we're like, yeah, I'm taking ground, I'm doing something. Something's happening. This matters. This is important. And really the most of our life, it's just not like that. It's all the in-between. It's when nothing's happening. It's when we're riding the wave from the last thing that happened, waiting for the next thing to happen. And that's that gap in between, that's most of our life. That's where it's at. Well, what does the word say about waiting for the Lord in the 90% nothing? Psalm 27:14 and Psalm 130, verse 5, says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. This is a word we need. We just, oh, so desperately need it. The Lord's gonna do stuff. I mean, if you look back in your life, didn't he do stuff? If any of you have been in Christ for 5, 10 years, didn't he do stuff? Weren't there times where stuff happened? But it's like we get in this moment where we just feel like, well, no, stuff's never gonna happen. Ever. There will never be stuff again. And that's simply not true. But we need to tell ourselves, we need to calm ourselves, speak to ourselves this word of patience. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Just, it's good words to speak to yourself. I mean, this is David here talking to himself, singing to himself. He's doing his weekly Devo set at the House of Prayer tent. And he's singing this song over himself. Wait for the Lord. I don't want to wait. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. This is him talking to himself. He's talking himself into a patient perspective because 90% of life is in the waiting. It's in those waiting moments. It's in that gap. Psalm 130 says similarly, I wait for the Lord. My whole being is waiting. And in his word, not in my circumstance, in his word, not in the calendar, in his word, not in my emotions, in his word, I'll put my hope. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to do it in accordance to his word. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait patiently. gosh, just what if? I mean, cast a vision for yourself. Like, you know, I loved what happened tonight with Harper causing every child in this church to get this godly jealousy to lead worship. And what happened tonight was Harper just serving with a genuine heart that loves Jesus was just doing what she does. And she was serving in a really awesome way tonight. But what it did was it painted a picture for all the other kids in our church to see themselves there in a minute, down the road just a little bit. I want you to picture yourself having a great amount of patience within. I want you to imagine a different version of yourself. Okay, imagine a version of yourself that when the really terrible thing happens, you respond with patience for weeks and months and years. That when nothing is going on, you respond with patience and you wait and you take heart. Imagine yourself. Doesn't that version of yourself sleep better? Doesn't that version of yourself smile more? Doesn't that version of yourself fret less? Doesn't that version of yourself have less anxiety, probably less health issues even as a result? I know when I'm stressed, I have more health issues. That version of yourself, get a vision for yourself like the kids did tonight during worship. Get a vision of yourself as that patient person and just start asking God for it. And start practicing where you can, repenting for the opposite. Impatience, we're so used to calling impatience like a normal human response instead of calling it sin. I love it when I see people, especially in our church, because we've got a great culture of this, of parents repenting to their kids for impatience, for quick-tempered, for all that kind of stuff. I love it. It's so powerful. Let's look at our impatience as sin instead of, you know, it's just kind of how it is. Like, let's repent over it and ask God for help to cure our disease, our cancer. I mean, if we live 90% of our life, because I'm just making up that amount, if that's how much life is of waiting and we're only content when something's happening, then 90% of life we're impatient. So 90% of life is like a lot of life. I don't want to be impatient. I want to have a deep reservoir of patience that I can flow out of and operate in and just go, it's okay. Like, I don't want to get riled up about this. God is good. Just oh, take heart, my soul. Stand on the word of God. Be patient. I will wait on you, Lord. I will wait. All right, what about having patience with God for your justice? Having patience with God for your justification? This is something I've been thinking about some for my personal life, here even recently in these last few weeks. You know, one of the things that's, it's both exciting and can be frustrating if you let your heart go there, is having successful friends and hearing about their successes, hearing about what's going on, because so often we can look to those things and our heart can become jealous if we're not careful. But we want to trust God. We want to have patience with God for our justice and our justification. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord. He will avenge you. To have patience when things aren't going your way, when even wrong things are happening to you, when things are taken from you, when things are out of order, out of place, when you've been mishandled, instead of our heart, which, I mean, I love the way this is written. It's like Solomon quoted 100% of the human population when he said, I'll pay you back for this wrong. We all say it in our heart. We all say it instantly. Every one of us, when we're wronged, in our mind's eye, we just punch that person in the face. I mean, every one of us. It's our initial, like, knee-jerk reaction. We got to calm that thing down. Grab that fist before it hits them in the proverbial face. Grab it, pull it back, and put it in your pocket. I will wait on the Lord, and he will avenge me. You will be avenged by God. By God, you'll be avenged. But to wait on the Lord, to trust him instead of making it our responsibility, instead of wasting brain cycles, thinking about how we're going to avenge them, about how we're going to make things right, about how wrong they are, about how bad they are. It's a waste of energy. You've only got so much emotional energy. Don't waste it on mean thinking. Don't waste it on, I'm going to get you back. That's all just, that's baggage. Those are chains. Let all that go. Do not say. And if you find yourself saying it, don't say it again. And then don't say it again and again and again. Don't go to bed pondering, I'll pay you back. You who will be paid back by me. Don't ponder these things in your heart. Instead, wait on the Lord, and he will avenge you. What about having patience with God when he seems distant? That happens, doesn't it? When God seems distant. See, I'm using that word, seems. God lives in you. He is not far. He has a home. Its address is your guts. He lives in you. He's not far. Sometimes his purposes are to not speak on purpose. Sometimes his purposes are to not answer those prayers on purpose, to move in that way that you want on purpose. On purpose, calculated from perfect wisdom. And actually, if he did the thing that you wanted or spoke when you wanted or felt near when you wanted it and it wasn't his purpose, it would actually be bad for you. You'd be worse off. Bad. But sometimes he feels distant. And Isaiah 8:17 tells us, I'll wait on the Lord. I'll wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I'll put my trust in him. Isaiah, by the way, is one of the descendants of Jacob. Okay? So right now, this is Isaiah saying, it seems like you've totally abandoned our church. I mean, our nation. It seems like you've totally abandoned us as a people. All the descendants of Jacob, you know, your chosen people, you know, the ones you say you like. It feels like you're like far. It feels like you're far away. You're hiding your face. I will wait on you, O great hide-and-seek God. I will out-hide you. I will wait you out for you to come out of that closet. I will wait on the Lord, the one who hides his face from me right now. I'll wait on him. This patience, powerful, powerful. What about being patient with God related to your calling? I was reminded this week of a scary word that Mike Bickle got from God. And anytime Mike Bickle gets a scary word from God, I hear it for myself. I encourage you to hear it for yourself in your various contexts. I just put the quote up there as best as I could get it, as best I could remember. Mike goes to heaven and gets a message from God in heaven, and it's not what you would think. It's not about, you know, these cool things happening or it really is going to be an end time revival or any of that stuff. The word he gets when he goes to heaven is a rebuke. And more than that, it's a pre-rebuke. Mike hasn't even messed it up yet. Mike has not yet done the thing that he's getting pre-rebuked for, because it's good to get pre-rebuked over this particular point because it's so innate to mankind. Impatience. And so the word of the Lord to Mike, three separate times in heaven, young man, be patient. Young man, said it stronger the second time, be patient. Third time, young man, be patient. If you are not patient, you will cause the falling of many, the failing of many. Comes up out of the experience and he has to deal with what's the Lord speaking about. It was about giving up on his calling. It was about staying the course of his calling. He says, if you don't, Mike, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you position. I'm going to give you this ministry. If you back out because it's tough, you're going to inspire many to do the same. You don't do it. Be patient related to your calling. I can't tell you how many things right now related to my calling that I'm just like, I'm not done. I'm not like, I'm done, God. I'm just like, I'm numb, though. I'm numb. I'm like, I just don't even know how to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to show up again tomorrow. I'm going to believe tomorrow, whatever believe means. But I'm like, there's so much about my calling that I'm still waiting for. The issue of patience, it's so important to the Lord that we're patient, that we just keep trusting, that we wait it out. What about related to God, patience, being patient with God, related to God's plan for your life? God's plan for your life. That's a funny one, really. It really is. Because you thought you knew what it was, didn't you? I thought I knew. I've thought I've known many times. I thought the Lord showed me. The plan that God has for our life. He cares so much more about who you are becoming than what you do. I mean, really, if you do a miracle, was it really you that did the miracle or was it God? I mean, if you prophesy something really cool and it like matters and all people are like, you know, doing some new cool thing and they take a whole country because of a prophetic word you gave, did you really prophesy? Or wasn't it God that gave you a couple of key words that he wanted spoken? I mean, really, when God wants to do stuff through you, it's 99% God and 1% you, and he has to keep you from tripping over your own feet while he's pushing you forward with his 99%. So it's not so much about what you do for God as it is what you become. He cares so much more about our inner life. But this verse in 2 Corinthians 6, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles. Now, this is Paul. This is like apostles, leaders. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is like the big time, the calling of God, the plan of God for our life. And he's like, oh, yeah, we got a plan of God for our life. Trouble, hardship, distresses. Who writes the word distresses? That's a man who's been distressed more than once. In hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet we are regarded as imposters. That's totally wrong. Known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, yet we live on. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. The plan of God for your life, it's going to require some patience, a lot of it. A lot of it, because it's just probably not going to look and go the way that you thought. But it was always his plan. You can't surprise God. Like, try your whole life to shock him once. I mean, you can't surprise him. Your circumstances don't surprise him. He knew. He knew it was coming. He's looking for us to patiently endure and to have patience in the midst of our life not going the way that we thought. Just look to him, trust him, wait on him. You know, in the process of that, I want to tell you to have patience with yourself. I love you. You're sinners. I know because I am one. And as a fallen human being, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to say things you shouldn't, do things you shouldn't, steps you shouldn't. It's how it is. Be patient with yourself. What does that look like? Patience with your progress. I can remember the Lord, he's so funny. He lets certain things happen to help create wrong paradigms that then he will later break down for our benefit. I can remember when I first came to know the Lord. I was secretly so incredibly arrogant because I was strong and I was able to do everything. I was able to get stuff done nobody could. I was able to take steps in the Lord I didn't see anybody taking. I was able to see such progress in my life. Every year I was journaling major steps that I had taken, major points of progress. And I can remember when it all stopped. I can remember when the grace lifted and I realized for the first time, oh my gosh, it was actually God. It wasn't me. It wasn't how cool I was. God had apportioned me a significant measure of grace in order to take steps. And one day, the grace lifted off in a significant way. And I wasn't able to take those steps. I wasn't even able to sustain half the ones I'd taken. And I can remember being so frustrated and going, I'm not making progress. Like, I'm supposed to be here by now. You know, as a Christian, you're supposed to be taking stuff. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. I can remember being so frustrated with myself. And here's what the word of the Lord is out of Hebrews 6:12 related to this. We do not want you to become lazy. So regarding your progress, don't be lazy, okay? You can't blame God if it's actually you, okay? You do need to own that part. Don't be lazy, but that's not the end of it. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what's been promised. It's interesting that patience was one of the ways that they inherited the things that they were promised. It's interesting that patience is one of the ways that they got to those next steps. They saw those next breakthrough points. Patience, it's so important. You got to be patient with yourself. Now, you don't be patient with yourself by doing diddly squat, but you do recognize that the grace of God is your fuel. And whatever level the grace of God has given you in this season of life, do your best and be patient. Be patient. The Lord could make you a rock star in a moment if he wanted to, and he's not, and that's okay. Just take the steps that you can. Love him well today, and be patient with yourself as you continue to take those steps towards him. Be patient with what you still lack. Romans 8:25. There's a lot of things that you lack in life. Things that you want to see in your natural circumstances. Things you want to see in your spirit. Fruit of the spirit that you wish was a little bit more developed. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The things that you do not yet have, the things that you're hoping for, whether external, internal, relational, whatever, the things that you do not yet have, wait patiently. Just keep believing, keep pressing in, keep asking God for those things. There are some things even this week that I was like, God, I am so tired of praying for this. Like, I pray for this every morning, and I have prayed for it every morning for like 6 years or something. I'm so tired of praying for this. I'm like, God, like, either just do it already or let me stop praying for it. And I just, I read this verse and I'm like, just keep going, Brad. Just keep praying. Keep waiting patiently for that thing. There's other things that I've been praying for nearly 20 years. Haven't seen them yet. But if we hope for that which we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. I mean, there's a bunch of verses about patience. Why would there be so many verses about patience related to practical living if patience was so optional, so not a big deal, so secondary on the way that we live? If it was just kind of a fringe issue, you can live kind of, you know, however you want, so long as you're following all this other stuff, but impatience isn't a big deal. Patience, it's so important. It comes up again and again and again. I was talking to you earlier about when people succeed around you. It's a blessing, and it's also, it can cause jealousy if I'm not careful, that I get to meet with leaders that are successful, that the Lord's grace is on, that I'm seeing prosper in powerful ways. I'm in relationship with pastors that I see things happening for and encouraging things happening in their life, and I'm like, Lord, like, I know I'm living right. Like, I know I'm trying. I know. It's easy, if we're not careful, to become impatient with ourselves, with the Lord, even to become critical. But I think it's crucial that we learn to have patience as we watch those around us receive that which we want. All of us have that. All of us have at arm's length, and social media, this is probably the worst thing about social media, is you can see everybody's best foot forward. Because who on social media posts every horrendous thing and terrible and awful thought that they've had? No, you put your best foot forward on social media. So everybody on social media is putting their best foot forward, and that's all you ever see. So you just think everybody's always having the greatest life ever. It's a lie. Their lives are terrible like yours. Sprinkled with some cool stuff, like what you posted this week. Mm-hmm. See? Yeah. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, or when they benefit, or when God blesses them. Be patient. Do not fret in your heart when people succeed in their ways. It's okay. Be patient. Wait for the Lord. See, that's a big one. Part of the way you do that is we got to learn to take our thoughts captive. If it isn't helpful, stop thinking about it. For real. Like, no one in this room would think it's a good idea to meditate on murder. I think I can get an amen across the board from this church. And if not, sign you up for some counseling a little bit later, okay? Your small group leader cannot wait to have that conversation with you. None of us in this room would argue that meditating, thinking on murder would be a really, really bad thing. We would all be in, like, agreement. That's bad. There's a lot of things that are in the same vein. They're just not helpful. Rebuke that thought like it's murder. Don't think on that. It's really not good for you. It won't do you any good. It will drag you down. You'll actually be fueling the enemy's purposes to get you distracted and bitter. Don't think about it. Take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Make it. Put chains on that thing. Put it in the closet. Not thinking about you. Can't make me. You shut up. You get back in that closet with your chains. We've got to learn to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. There's just a lot of stuff we just really shouldn't think about. And I'll tell you this. Trying to keep up with the Joneses is one of those things you shouldn't think about. Seeing what's happening around you, you need to find a way to quickly celebrate it. And if it's a real struggle and issue, stop thinking about it. Don't journal about it. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Just take the thought captive, call it the devil, lock it up in a closet and walk away. Don't think about it. Unhelpful. It will only hurt you. Being patient with yourself in trials. Look at Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. All these are actually related to trials, because the whole subject of hope means you don't have it, trial. The whole issue of affliction means bad, trial. The whole reason you have to be faithful in prayer is because the thing hasn't happened yet, trial. We're supposed to be patient in our affliction, in our trials. Patience. See, you're going to have trials. Like, that's just how it is. And they're always going to last longer than you want them to. Like, what trial is a trial that lasts 13 seconds? Like, I can live through that one. Hit me again. 13 seconds? I got 26 in me. I know I can do this. A trial lasts longer than you want. Be patient. Just when you see it coming, just brace yourself. Okay, tidal wave. I'm just going to settle in. I'm going to be patient. This trial is probably going to last a while. Pray like crazy. Faithful in prayer. Don't give up on the prayer thing. Be faithful in prayer against the trial. God, slap this trial around. Get rid of this thing. Be faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope. God, I'm believing for the day this thing's going to be over. For the day this trial will transition. I'm believing for it. And be patient while you wait. Patient while that trial goes nowhere, while you find yourself in it. And finally, I want to wrap up with patience in our relationships. Patience in our relationships. You know, God is so patient with us. It's the only way this thing works, really. Because I do stuff and then I repent and I do it again. Then I repent and I do it again. And I is you. I know you. You're just like me. You got problems. You got sin. And God is so patient with us. Like, it's unbelievable, really. Because when you think when somebody sins against you, it hurts and it's ugly. God is pure holy. When we sin, it's a lot dirtier to him. It's a lot more foul than when your friend sins against you. It's way more heinous. He's so, the spectrum between you and your friend is probably not that great of a distance. The chasm between you and God related to the subject of holiness, he is pure holy. And there is darkness in him at all. And when we sin, it is foul. And he is so patient. It's unbelievable. I cannot believe my sins that he forgives again and again and again and again, and he would do it again and again and again. It's unbelievable the patience that God has while having every capacity and faculty and reason to not be patient. I mean, it's so foul, and he's so patient. This is how God is with us. Romans 9:22 and 2 Peter 3. God bore with great patience the objects of his wrath. He bore with great patience, not those that were a little knuckleheaded, the objects of his wrath, the ones destined, ordained for wrath. And he bore with great patience. Oh, but even more than that, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he's patient with you. He is patient with you. He's patient with me. Oh, the unbelievable patience of God, the calm of God. I mean, what a happy guy. Never having to be impatient and pop off and, like, you know, be anxious or angry. Like, what a happy, happy man. What a glad-hearted God. Because he's so patient. Like, I want to be like that. He wants us to be like that. He wants us to see who he is and what he's like and be like that. Patient. So let's talk about some relationships. Those of you who are married, patience with your spouse. Most folks that get married probably wind up hearing the 1 Corinthians 13:4 passage. If I did your wedding, you probably don't hear it because I intentionally don't go to 1 Corinthians 13. But many do. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is patient with our spouse. Oh, we're so, you know, the way that it works when you live with a person and they sleep inches from you, you never have a moment away. And there is greater opportunity for offense. You know each other better than anybody, so you let your hair down easier. You also know each other better than anybody, so you know each other's buttons and points of issue. And in the marriage relationship, the issue of patience, it's like the hardest. It's harder to be patient with your spouse than it is to be patient with an irritating neighbor or whatever, because you're with them all the time. And it says love is patient. Just to remind ourselves of that. Patience with our kids. There's a lot of this stuff I'm not good at. I want to get better. I'm preaching to me tonight. I want to be more patient with my wife, with my kids. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. I just thought this was a good verse related to our kids. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, strengthened with all power, that you might have great endurance and patience. You know, kids, similar story to the spouse thing, they live at the house. They're not refined yet. They have no thought of patience. So their impatience is probable. Okay? And You're supposed to continue to feed them and to give them a place to sleep. You're supposed to let them back in the house after they go out to play. The thought has crossed my mind a couple times, just lock the door. You're supposed to let them back in. We need power from heaven to be patient. Paul says, I'm praying for you to be filled with the knowledge of his will, to be strengthened with all power from God. Power to do what? To do signs and wonders, to do miracles, to part a Red Sea. Power to be patient. Dang! Yeah, same resurrection power raised Jesus from the dead. You need it to be patient. A great verse for the way we interact with our kids. Praying for patience that we might interact with greater grace. With those in your small group, 2 Timothy 4:2. This is whether you're a peer in a small group or you're a small group leader or you're going to lead somebody in discipleship one day in your future. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Correct, rebuke, encourage. Of those three, two of them are negative. But find a way to do it with a smile. Third one is very positive, encouragement. And do this with great care and great patience, meaning do it again this week and again next week and again the week after that. With great patience, interact with those in your small group. Love on those that you're leading, small group leaders. And I'll end with this. With patience, interact with great patience with everyone. Everyone. Not just this group or that group or on a Tuesday or on your good day or your bad day. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Patient with everybody. This is laughable. Like, I feel like I can compartmentalize patience and maybe make a little progress. Like, okay, I'll just be patient in these circumstances. And maybe that's a good start. It's better than not at all. But this is patient with everybody. And the idea is patient with everybody all the time. I mean, because if you're patient with them today, but you're not patient with them tomorrow, you weren't patient. So you didn't really do it. So patient with everybody. So patient when you're in line and that person's doing the crazy thing. I'm so bad at this. I am so bad at this. I'll be in line and somebody is doing something that is totally unnecessary and it's taking way too long. And I may not outwardly grunt, but I absolutely change lines immediately. I'm mad. They're just digging through their purse. They're just trying to ring up this thing, trying to get a discount on something they already got a discount on, whatever. It's like, who's really the one with the problem right now? Them trying to save a dollar because they don't have a dollar, or you who are getting all worked up and mad about the whole thing and impatient. I'm like, dang, I got issues upon issues. My issues have demons. This issue of impatience, it's so normal, and it's inexcusable. Like, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live impatiently. I don't like it when I get impatient and I have one of those moments. I get all tense. I know my face just has to look so ugly. Like, what if the only pictures on Instagram were all our impatient faces? Everybody's. No one would have social media. I just know it. I hate that because I can feel my face not looking happy Brad. Like, so unhappy right now. And I feel tension in my body and my anxiousness, and I'm like, ah! And it's like, I'm not any fun to be with at that moment, and I'm me. Like, how much less fun it is for you at the moment. I don't want to be that way. I want to be patient.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.